In Psalm 116, it says, "What can I offer the Lord for all he has done to me? I will lift up a cup symbolizing his salvation. I will praise the Lord's name for saving me. I will keep my promise to the Lord in the presence of all his people." The Lord's loved ones are precious to him. It grieves him when they die. "And I will keep my promises to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Praise the Lord." I'm going to invite Don's grandson, Evan, to come and share some words of scripture with us as well.
"At the time of King David's death approached, he gave this charge to his son Solomon. I'm going where everyone on earth must someday go. Take courage and be a man. Observe the requirements of the Lord your God and follow his ways. Keep the decrees, commands, regulations, and laws written in the law of Moses so that you will be successful in all that you do and wherever you go." 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. "I will never forget this awful time. As I grieve over my loss, yet I still dare to hope that I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who depend on him and to those who search for him. So it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord." Lamentations chapter 3, 20 to 26.
Thanks, Evan. And before he left the earth, Jesus, knowing the pain that our hearts would suffer at times in this world, left us this promise: "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. So I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, you may be also." Let's pray together. Our great God and our compassionate Heavenly Father, we ask that your presence today would be evident to us and through us. We ask that your Spirit would comfort us and that your words would strengthen us and that our hope would be renewed by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our loving God, we bring to you our memories, we bring to you our longing hopes, and we bring to you our deepest sadness in the earthly loss of your servant Don. And our Heavenly Father, would you bring renewed faith and strength and courage through these moments and in the days to come, both through reflection and celebration. God of forgiveness and love, even when our faith is shaken, your faithfulness is sure. Give light to our footsteps, heal our wounds, and lead us by your truth. In your loving mercy, we place our trust through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm going to invite Neil to come, and Neil and Monica are going to lead us in some hymns this morning.
Good morning. Could we sing together hymn number 61 in your hymn books? Hymn number 61, "He Giveth More Grace."
Thank you.
At this time, I'm going to ask some of the family to come and share some words of remembrance. And we'll start with Don's sister, Wendy.
First thing I remember when I was asked is being his tag-along sister. Every place that Don went, there I was. He might have been a little bit older than me, but I don't ever remember him saying, no, you can't come with me. And wherever I asked him to go, I was there. I found a poem. As kids, we lived together. We fought, we laughed, we cried. We did not always show the love that we both had inside. We shared our dreams and plans, and some secrets too. All the memories we shared is what bond me now to you. We grew to find we had a love that is very strong. It's a love shared by our family that will never fade away. You are my brother, not by choice, but the nature of our birth. I could not have chosen a better one. You were the best on earth.
Invite Laura to come.
Thank you all for coming. For those of you that don't know me, my name's Laura. I'm Don's eldest daughter, and this is my husband, Wes. On behalf of the entire family, we appreciate your attendance today and your support over the last few days. Your prayers and your thoughts and your gifts of food and messages on social media, your words of encouragement to me and my brothers and sisters are appreciated more than you know. Thanks as well to those of you that attended the visitation last night. There was a great turnout, and we appreciated people taking time to come out and share the remembrances of my dad. So some information about my dad, Donald Richard Blythe. He was born just over 73 years ago. He was born in Sarnia. He lived here his whole life. He was the fourth of seven children. My dad didn't talk a lot about his early childhood, and I guess for me where his story began is when he met my mom. When she was a teenager, she would come to Sarnia to visit her mom in the summers. And when she was 13 and my dad was 15, they met on the government docks. Before long, they were high school sweethearts. They were married in 1967 and were privileged to celebrate their 50th anniversary in the fall. Many of you were joining us in the celebration that we had up in the church here. They had three children and six grandchildren, and my dad and my mom, they love spending time together, and over the last 3 years in particular, they did a lot of traveling. They took trips. One of the latest ones was to France, and they went on missions to El Salvador and South Africa. As Pastor Dave mentioned, Don was a father, grandfather, husband, a brother, an uncle, and a friend. And those are some of the facts that describe who my father was. And while they describe what my dad was, they don't really describe who my dad was. So for the next couple minutes, we wanted to share a little bit more about the qualities that made him the wonderful person that he was. So the first thing we'd like to share is that, as many of you know, my dad was supportive. My brother and sister and I have many fond memories of our dad supporting us at our baseball games, our other sporting events, and the grandkids' activities and dance recitals and that kind of thing. My brother Wayne was telling a story. Wayne was a pitcher on his baseball team, and he remembers our dad would go to every game. He would cheer for him, and not only would he do that, but he would stand behind the backstop, directly behind the umpire, and often yell a single line of encouragement to Wayne, throw strikes. In the days since his passing, we've also received so many notes from our friends, letting us know that as children, and when we had kids over, he really made them feel right at home. He might have teased them a little bit, but he was welcoming, and that's who he was. Sometimes his support was shown in other ways. Although he might not have always agreed with every life choice that my siblings and I made, he always let us know that he loved us anyway. I recently came across a quote that reminded me of my dad. My father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it. Second thing about my dad was hardworking. My dad worked for 26 years at Fiberglass. Then when the plant closed, he went to Lambton College. He took on a number of jobs around town and did what he needed to do to provide for his family. He served this church as well. Over the years, he was a head trustee. He taught Sunday school. He taught in the youth groups. And he also helped with the construction of this addition. Some of you might remember way back as one of my earliest childhood memories when this part of the church was being built in the late 70s. I remember one time and my sister had just got her kitten named Fluffy, and she wanted to take Fluffy to see my grandma a Friday evening. My dad said, no, don't take the cats. We have to check in on the construction at the church. Long story short, my sister insisted, my dad relented, the cat came to the church, the cat got out in the open construction, and the cat got lost. So one of my memories of my dad was spending hours trying to comb through the nooks and crannies of the unfinished construction in this sanctuary here, looking for the cat. Never once did he say, see, I told you, you shouldn't have taken the cat. He just helped her look for hours until the cat was found. His hard working extended beyond that into our house as well. It seemed our dad could fix almost anything, particularly if he had his set of Time Life reference books and a roll of duct tape. My dad was generous. My dad wasn't the type of man that made grand gestures. Instead, he would do the day-to-day little things that mattered. He volunteered as a big brother. He would save his chocolate milk and grape juice for me from his overtime lunch when I was a kid. He would always peel the 10 pounds of potatoes for the family dinners. He would build handmade wooden trains for his grandsons, even if, as was the case for my nephew Nolan, he cut and broke his fingers doing the job. The one thing that he, and perhaps the only thing he wasn't generous with, was his peanut butter toast. He would eat 8 slices of fresh bread with butter and peanut butter before bed, regardless of even if dinner happened an hour before. My dad was courageous. He was usually in some kind of physical pain, but you never knew it. He had gout and arthritis. He had 2 knee replacements. He had 2 shoulder replacements, but he was tough. My brother tells a story of when he was a young teenager and my dad slammed his hand in the trunk of the car. And sitting there with his hand caught in the trunk lid with the blood spewing out, he simply said, Wayne, get the keys. And then he unlocked the trunk, wrapped his limb in a towel, and drove himself to the emergency room. Before last week, in some ways, our dad seemed invincible, having beaten cancer not once, but twice. My dad was a man of few words. My brother, sister, and I don't live in Sarnia anymore, so we would often call home. We tried to engage him in conversation. He would ask, how's the job? How's the kids? How's the weather? And then insist on passing the phone over to my mom before he even heard the answer. supportive, generous, hardworking, courageous. This was what my dad was. More importantly, this was who my dad was. There's a great deal we'll miss about Donald Richard Blythe. His grandkids will miss the I'll get your belly games. His kids will miss his dadisms like close the door, we're not paying to heat the outside. And his wife will miss his devoted companionship. We will all miss his kindness, his strength, and his love. In closing, I would like to leave you with a short poem that Wes can read for us called A Successful Man.
A successful man. That man is a success, who has lived well, laughed often, and loved much, who has gained the respect of intelligent men and the love of children, who has filled his niche and accomplished his task, who leaves the world better than he found it, who has never lacked appreciation of Earth's beauty or failed to express it, who looked for the best in others and gave the best he had. Thank you.
Now I'm going to invite Avery to come and join me up here. Do you want to stand over here, away from there? That way they can see you. Are you okay holding that, or do you want me to hold it? But I hold it, and you hold your paper.
My grandpa's loved me since I was born, but I've loved him my whole life. And he will love me forever, and we will love him forever. He caught me before I fell. I know, I almost fell down the stairs, and it was like, yoink, you're not getting hurt today. Your mom would not be happy. He made a house a home with his warmth, but not from his hairy legs and arms, from his smile. My grandpa was the kind of grandpa you would want to show off, tell your friends, oh, I have a cool grandpa. He went to South Africa, you know? And Paris, yeah, he was like right beside the Eiffel Tower and things like that. And I know he lived a very long, well, not long, but I mean, from 70 years, so I can't do math. Anyway, but he was there when we needed him most. He was there, even though he was like, hi, when we first got there. He's like, don't wake the baby, even though there was no baby there. I think he was talking about my brother, but I think my grandpa is a good man and dad, husband, son, all of the things you said. But I'm not going to repeat them because we've heard it like 8 times already. So I just want to say my grandpa has had a life filled with love and happiness and family.
Awesome. Well done. Well done. Neil, thank you so much. She's here all day, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's sing another hymn, How Great Thou Art, number 10. In the hymn book, number 10.
Thank you.
Just for a few moments, I want to just take you to a place tucked away in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 34. It's the very end of that book. It says, "Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo and from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah, across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali and the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh and all the land of Judah as far as the Mediterranean Sea, the Negev and and the whole region from the valley of Jericho and the city of Palms as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, 'This is the land that I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when I said, I will give to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it.' And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. And he buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor, but to this day no one knows where the grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. And the Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. And Joseph, son of Nun, was filled with a spirit of wisdom because Moab had laid his hands on him. And so the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded to Moses. A horizon is that place on the outer limits of our view. When we look out onto the lake, it's where the line of the lake meets the line of the sky. It's where they come together. It's a place where the light of the sun gives way to the dark of night. And as it fades to black, we turn our backs on that day. And as we turn, we can await the dawning of a new day, not from the direction that we were looking in, not from the direction of the darkness, but from the opposite direction. And were we to wait and were we to look, we would witness a new day's light gently breaking and piercing the darkness again, extending our view and reintroducing us anew to the place where heaven and earth meet, inviting us beyond the horizon. Over the last few days, we have been brought to a place of unexpected darkness. Nothing that is said or done today will change the reality of the loss that we feel. However, what happens from today is so important. And my hope and prayer is that our perspective is changed as we look for the glimmer of radiant hope to rise and dispel the shadows of despair. That hope is found in the love of God, in his purposes, and in his promises. Moses was an ordinary man who had experienced his own struggles, victories, disappointments, and achievements. However, because of the grace of God and humility, he became a person who would lead others to places they could never go on their own. He provided for others a better future than he had ever experienced himself. He was a patriarch, a father to a whole nation. His guidance was instrumental and vital to all the many who had known him. And yet, he was taken up by God while he was still full of strength. And from an earthly, human, logical perspective, there was no good reason for him to enter into his eternal rest. Though the Israelites knew that the time was coming, they didn't necessarily know exactly when that would happen. And so that evening, as Moses went up to the mountain to peer out to the horizon, they had little reason to expect that he wouldn't come back down. I think, like the Israelites, it's important to recognize that grief is profound and it's normal. The disappointment, discouragement, the anger, the confusion, and the pain that all vary in its intensity and duration, these are all part of our grief. We experience them because of the intensity and the depth of the love that has changed us. and the experience that we have had together on this bottom half of the horizon, we have cultivated a greater depth of love. And that hurt can only be helped by a yet greater love, and there is no greater love than the love of Jesus Christ, who understands our sorrow, who walks with us in our sorrow, and even as he leads us to the upper horizon perspective. Why do I share this with you? Because I believe the message that Moses shared to Joshua and to all the Israelites, that he repeated over and over to them, is a good reminder for us today. And from my own relationship with Don, and as I hear of other relationships that go back so many more years, I think they're fitting. And it's a little bit of a fourfold formula, if you will. And you can look back a few chapters in the book of Deuteronomy. You can look forward to the next book on the next page in Joshua chapter 1. And you can find this fourfold formula. It simply goes like this. Be strong, be courageous, be assured, and be godly. Be strong, be courageous, be assured, and be godly. Be strong. Strength, he isn't talking about a physical quality. It's a character quality, a strength of character that is developed through the capacity to endure many repetitions of joy and sorrow, laughter and tears, compassion and hurt. And therefore, the strength to be resolved, to be focused, to be determined, to fulfill those hopes and those dreams instilled within you. Be courageous. That's the mental and moral strength to resist opposition in the face of danger or hardship. It implies a firmness of mind and will in the face of difficulty. Courage requires perseverance and a willingness to take the next step, understanding that there will be moments and days of hardship, and yet a commitment to keep moving forward, sometimes to pick ourselves back up in order to discover God's yet unfulfilled purposes in our lives. Thirdly, be assured. This comes really in two parts. One is to don't be afraid. The second is that God is with you. Don't be afraid. It means that there are going to be times we're going to feel afraid. We're going to be afraid to face a day alone. We're going to be afraid of what comes next. We're going to be afraid of not having that leader present. But don't give in to that fear. Don't allow fear to dictate your steps. But through perfect love from God and through one another, drive out that fear and take hold of the future that you've been striving to attain and that you have been positioned to discover. I will be with you. Don't be afraid. I will be with you, says the Lord. I will go before you. I will never leave you. We gain strength and courage and capacity to face our fears through the recognition that God not only is with us, but he's actually going ahead of us, and he will never leave us. Jesus echoes and expands and exemplifies those words when he says that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. The invitation is simple. Follow the way of Moses. Follow the way of Joshua. Follow the way of Jesus. Be strong, be courageous, be assured, and then be godly. Live your lives according to God's truth. Don't let God's truth be removed from the daily rhythm of your lives. Read it, learn it, think about it. Be shaped by his truth, even in and particularly when faced with difficult, fearful circumstances. Moses would repeatedly say, "These are the words of the Lord. They are life." It's not that they are a way of life or they're a part of life, but they are life themselves. So be strong, be courageous, be assured, be godly. And as a member of our church family for over 50 years, Don has left us many enduring memories and a stellar example of faithful service to the Lord throughout those years. His faithfulness is exemplified during our congregational times of struggle, and times of his own personal struggle. His love for the Lord Jesus Christ and for this church family have been consistent over all these years. He came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through and among this church family. He was baptized among this church family. He was married among this church family. Here, he and Heather dedicated their children to the Lord among this church family. He served in many capacities, and you heard some of those from Laura, from Sunday school teacher to directing the expansion of this very facility here in the late 1970s. And as time went on and circumstances changed in his life, what didn't change was his desire to serve the Lord and to be used of the Lord. And over the last few years, it has been a distinct honor and privilege of mine to have Heather and Don join us on teams, on global mission teams to El Salvador and to South Africa. In neither team were they add-ons. In fact, just recently at our South Africa meeting, I told them that throughout the process of going to South Africa, of getting ready, many people would come to me and say, "Hey, aren't Don and Heather too old to go? Are you sure you should be taking them?" I said, their number is old, but they're not too old to go. And they were valuable contributors on both those teams. As well as they serve locally here on teams, cooking meals at the Inn of the Good Shepherd and picking produce in our community garden. And on many of these occasions over the last few years, I've asked Don about why he serves and what is so important to him about doing so. And he would simply say that he enjoys being part of helping people, particularly children. And I've seen him with children here and children in El Salvador and in children in South Africa, and he treats them no different. All extremely valuable when you're in his presence. He enjoys being part of teams and particularly reaching children, helping them to learn and understand the Word of God, the truth of God, and the difference that faith in Christ has meant to him, and that they would also trust in Christ themselves. In his quiet, funny, thoughtful, humble way, Don has reminded us all about what strength and courage, love and godliness can look like. And in so doing, he has pointed us beyond the horizon. His desire would be for you to know that you can have the same certainty of everlasting life with Jesus by acknowledging your need of his offer of salvation of grace. And so maybe it's today. And maybe it's now to relinquish your own hold and perspective of life. Confess your need of Jesus and know truly the peace and the strength and the grace with which he desires to infuse your life and guide your life. This life's journey is difficult, and we can't avoid the struggles, the sorrow, the pain and the difficulties that some of our days are filled with, and this week is certainly paramount among them. And yet we can know without a doubt that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And the promise of that faith will lead us to our Heavenly Father, beyond the horizon, into all of eternity. Having passed from this life to next, Don clearly and completely understands that God's greatest blessings now awaits those who place their hope and their faith, their identity in Jesus Christ. In the presence of God, our tears will be wiped away. In God's presence with us, his comfort and his peace know no end. In the presence of God, there will be no more death and no more mourning, or no crying or pain, or fear or uncertainty. So may we too be found faithful because of the evidence of God made known to us through his servant Don. Let's pray together. Our living Lord and our Savior, we thank you for being powerful enough to to conquer death and the grave for our sake. We thank you for showing us your presence through a man like Donald Richard Blythe. So we submit ourselves to your care and ask that in our present grief, you will bring comfort and strength, that you will bring your everlasting, ever-present help in this trouble, which all is found through faith in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Will you sing with me hymn number 391, Amazing Grace, number 391 in the hymn books?
Just a reminder that you're invited to stay and share some time, some memories, and a light luncheon up in Fellowship Hall, which is as you exit into the foyer up the stairs at the end of the hall. The interment will be following the luncheon, so as I mentioned, the family might be leaving somewhere around 2 o'clock. Also, just please take note that that downstairs, that there's a bathroom on our main level down here if you go to the foyer down to the left, and also upstairs if you go up to Fellowship Hall and through the gym. Please refrain from going downstairs, as we have a camp with autistic kids and they are meeting downstairs. And so we're going to give them the downstairs, and we'll take care of using this floor and the upstairs. So now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.